Welcome to Workshop Wednesdays with Tony Gambone, where you will learn how to build your business and take it to the next level. Brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambone.
All right, welcome to the show. My name is Tony Gambone, and of course it is Wednesday, because here we are on Workshop Wednesday Business Radio here at the Tough Talk Radio Network. We have a great show lined up, but, you know, I'm selfish about that. I'm convinced we always have a great show lined up because this show brings people on and allows them to tell what they're doing in their world to help others and themselves, which allows us to learn from it. And if we're smart, we should all be taking notes and learning from it and taking action on it. So we'll get to our guest here in a little bit. I just want to go through the housekeeping and step up on my little soapbox and say what I got to say this week. So anyway, first of all, toughtalkradionetwork.com. You can find all the shows listed there that are on weekly here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Friend us on Facebook under Tough Talk Radio or Tony Gambone. You can friend me. You can find us on Twitter at TTR Network, or you can find me on Twitter at Tony Gambone. You can find us on LinkedIn, Facebook. If there's a Google search bar and you type in Tough Talk Radio Network or Tony Gambone, I'd love to connect with you. You can email me anytime with questions or just to connect to find out more about maybe you're a fit for the show by going to tony@tonygambone.com. Also, you can call into the show, talk to our guest, join the conversation. The number is 347-989-1363. If you just want to listen by phone because you got to get on the run, you can do that by just dialing in that number, 347-989-1363. Or you can press the number 1 anytime when you have a question for the show. We'd love for you to join us. Okay, so this week, as a lot of you know, I run networking groups. So Tough Talk Network is a umbrella of things. We have Tough Talk Radio, we have Tough Talk Business Network, and we do compilation books, and we also have a school of continuing education for the realtors in the state of Texas. So one of the things that I'm always very passionate about is my networking group. I like to teach people in networking groups how to build relationships with other business owners in the community so they could network their business bigger. Let's face it, folks, today's market, billboards aren't there anymore, yellow pages are something that no one has, and so advertising and marketing yourself, the best way to do it is word of mouth, and the best way to get word of mouth referral is to build relationships with other business owners that are running into the same opportunities that you need. So when I'm at my networking groups, we do things like bring in speakers to talk about different things. Yesterday we had a conversation about how to benefit your business by using LinkedIn. A lot of people think that LinkedIn is just for finding a job. Okay, so it was a great little presentation we had by one of our speakers, Sandy Lawrence, a local lady here in Houston. And one of the things that I found afterwards, because when the event is over, I go around and I ask everyone what they got out of it. Did they get something out of it? How was their experience? Always trying to improve, right? Well, there's always that group of people in a networking group that go there just to solicit business. And I get it. We're always trying to build our business. But being a bull in a china closet isn't the way to do it. Attacking someone over and over and over and over and over about, and not physically attacking them, but keep going over and over and over about how their business can help them and how you're trying to sell. People didn't go there to see what they could buy. Actually, most of them went there to see what they could sell. If they're really smart and you're going to a networking group, you want to be strategic, right? So you want to sit there and figure out why you're going there, why the group would benefit you, what people you want to meet, what type of people you want to meet, start building a relationship. So in one or two or three meetings, you can then get to doing something about what it is in your business. But, you know, if someone walked up to me and said, or walked up to you in the mall and said, hey, I have this greatest product in the world. Would you like to buy it? Most of the time, you put your hand up as they're walking toward you from the little kiosk, and you say, no, thank you. Well, when you're in a business setting with other business owners and you act like the person in the middle of the mall at a kiosk, people are going to just shut you right down. So I had a gentleman left there yesterday, very disturbed because of the way the people at his table decided to correspond with him like he wanted his their product or their service. So I'll give you, for instance, if you're in an organization selling coffee, and three people are sitting with you at a lunch table, and you're trying to sell them coffee and explaining to them how great the coffee is, wouldn't it be a good idea to find out if they drink coffee? Just saying. Most of us out there show up like that, and we're perceived to be desperate. I don't know about you, but I don't want to do business with people that are desperate. So when you're out there networking in your local area, now, in the city of Houston, there's so many networking groups. It's just phenomenal. A lot of places across the country don't have that type of environment. I know because I've tried to open network groups in other states. But the thing of it is, it doesn't matter where you are. You could be in the line at the grocery store. You can be walking through the mall. You could be at a breakfast group, a chamber lunch, a Rotary dinner. It doesn't matter where you're at. What matters is, are you willing to find out a little bit about the person that you're sitting next to? Are you willing to follow up with them and find out what you have in common? Are you willing to find out if what they have is a fit for you or vice versa? Or are you just going to assume? I don't know about you, but there's a saying about assuming, and it doesn't always come out to our advantage. So you need to really think about this, folks. When you're out in the public or in your office, think about how you can go out and learn about others so you can help them grow their business, and you'll find that your business will grow from it. Because when people meet nice people, it's almost like no one remembers manners anymore. So when someone has manners, someone else brags about it. And that allows you to be referred for business. So it's the easiest thing in the world. Just be nice. Just care. Just listen. Key word in everything that I found in all my presentations, all my speaks, all my trainings, everything, if you don't listen, you will not be on board to anything. You'll just be like driving in a circle all by yourself. So, tip of the week, make sure to listen. And make sure not to assume that other people want what you have. Try to find out who they are. See what you have in common. Build a relationship. Worst case scenario is you got a new friend. Okay, best case scenario is they'll know someone that wants to do business with you. It's not about who you meet, it's about who they know. And they're not going to tell you who they know unless you build a friendship with them. So you can't be trickery about it. You got to be on the up and up. But pay attention. It's kind of like dating. When you go out to a networking group, it's like going out on a date. If you want the relationship to grow into something, you got to be upfront and be yourself from the very beginning. And then you'll know whether you're a fit or not for that date, to have another date. It's important to understand that. I hate to see people go out and waste their time and their money and their energy and then say networking doesn't work for me. Because there's four questions I ask them. What kind of groups are you visiting? What kind of message are you bringing? How many follow-ups have you done? And are you writing down the results? And most of the questions are no, are answered no, 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 and no. So you're smart enough to figure out the difference there, right? Okay, so my show today is an awesome show. We have Marlena Hunter out of California, and she is a family therapist, marriage and family therapist. And this is going to help you business owners out there because, you know, everything's about relationship. Okay, and if you're a family or a marriage therapist, trust me, it's about the relationship. So you're going to learn some stuff from her today that's going to help you understand maybe, just maybe, where you're taking the wrong step. Usually in life when we're doing things wrong, it's just a little shift. It's not a major, major turnaround, okay? And then our second guest today is a mother and a daughter, Kathy and Kristen Tabern. And they are executive coaching team, okay, as well. So we're going to get a chance to understand, well, they're both authors, okay? And my second guest have written a book called The Power of Courtesy. There's something to think about, okay? And my first guest is a co-author in the book, 100 ways to overcome shyness. Now, if you're a networker, if you're a business owner, there's a very good possibility that you're shy. You might not mind talking, but that doesn't mean you're not shy. So we're going to learn a whole bunch of stuff today. What I want you to do is fill up your coffee, get another bottle of water, clean sheet of paper, a pen or a pencil, get ready to take some notes. We're going to take a commercial break. When we come back, we're going to bring up Marlena Hunter and find out more about what's going on and how you can overcome shyness. Okay? So we'll be right back.
Lauren Jano is an elite international certified high performance coach, author, and speaker with over 15 years experience helping clients transform so that they are living bolder, happier, and more successful lives. Through a combination of her world-class coaching program and exclusive assessments, her mission is to get to the crux of your issues quickly and accurately, and then guide you to achieve sustained and higher levels of clarity, joy, energy, connection, influence, and overall performance in every area of your life. To learn more or to contact Lauren, go to laurenjano.com.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
So you think you're tough enough for Tough Talk with Tony Gambone? Tony knows how to dish it out. Can you take it? Tony Gambone is a communicator, mentor, and entrepreneur whose tough style and generous spirit quickly garnered recognition in many a competitive arena. Now he's bringing his intelligence and knowledge to you as a hard-hitting radio talk show host and thought leader. Tune in and see for yourself. Tough Talk with Tony Gambone. It's a sure thing. To find out more, go to Tough Talk with Tony Gambone.
All right, I forgot about that commercial. Anyway, it's not that tough. My first guest today, Marlena Hunter, is currently a marriage and family therapist working in a private practice in California. She's the co-author of a book, 100 Ways to Overcome Shyness, set to release in bookstores. Well, it's already released in August of 2015. And so we're going to talk about her book. We're going to talk about her and what she does and how she helps others. But first, I want to bring her up on the show. Marlena, welcome to the show.
Hi, Tony. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, we're always excited to have people come on the show and talk to us about the things that they're doing, especially when they've put it in a book or they're working with people to help improve the individual personally and professionally. So before we get there, I want to find out a little bit about Marlena. So where are you calling in from and where are you from originally?
Well, currently I'm in Los Angeles, California, and I'm from California, but I grew up in Long Beach, which is this maybe 45 minutes from where I am now.
Very good.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've read your bio and stuff, and, you know, a lot of people are listening in and didn't have the chance to read your bio. Can you take us along the journey? You know, I know that you have a degree in psychology. Tell us your journey, how you got to deciding that you wanted to do marriage and family therapy.
Yes, it was a journey, and I can recall when I was 11 years old, I mentioned in a previous interview that my father passed away, and it was a pretty tough time for our family, and my mom put my brother and I in therapy, and I can still recall going to the therapist and how it really helped me and how it inspired me at that time to want to do that type of work, although of course, I did not go for psychology immediately after I graduated from high school. However, I went to college. I took some general courses with the psychology major being in the back of my mind. So I transferred to Cal State after my AA degree, which took 2 years, and I just started working towards my bachelor. Got my bachelor there, and I still had no idea, even after my bachelor degree, what kind of work I would be doing, but I did get my bachelor in psychology, and I started to work with autistic children, and when I went for my master's degree in psychology, that's when I decided I wanted to work with adult population as well, and this is why I went into the marriage and family therapy program, because I also had this calling to work with families, to bring families together, and also to encourage people to improve their lives.
So you and I spoke pre-show, and we talked about some of the journey that you've taken to get to where you are now. And I just want people to understand, you know, you went to college, you made your way through that, and for those of you that went to college, you know that that's could be 4 years of partying or 4 years of hard work, but either way, it's 4 years, right? But
that's
it didn't
right.
stop there. You had to then go out and do your services as kind of like as an intern for free before you could go ahead and start doing what you do now to get paid. So a lot of people would have given up because, well, they have to make a living. You work two different jobs, basically, to get to where you are today. Tell us about that commitment.
Yes, you're right. I left that big chunk out, which is very important. And it was very frustrating. It was a sacrifice. I made a lot of sacrifices, even with my family. I lost precious time with my family, with friends. You know, like you said, no partying, no hanging out. It's pure, like, study, classes, working. And when I got my when I was in my master's program, I had to work for an entire year for free volunteering at a hospital, and so I could not even get paid for that clinical experience. So it put me in a position where I basically was working two jobs, and even after that, it still was difficult to find work because you have to get a total 3,000 hours in order to become licensed. And in the state, most people are not hiring interns. They, as far as paid interns, they're only hiring you for volunteer hours. So it's an exchange. They give you hours so you can register for the license exam. So it became very frustrating for me to the point where I almost left my career. I actually took a break. I stopped working all my hours for like a year or so because I have to work. I have to pay for bills and you know, one day I just said, you know, I came this far and this is what I want to do. So I just went back and I started volunteering again. And that's actually where I am. And I finally got my first paid position this year.
So
yes,
commitment is something that you had no trouble committing to. Along that journey of commitment, things take place. And as you grow through that, you kind of look back and think of, well, I might have did this different, I might have did this different. But the truth of the matter is, through that process, ups and downs, goods and bads, without that commitment, you wouldn't be where you are today. It would just have been prolonged, and you wouldn't have been able to learn from what you've learned through that process. And at the end of the day, you are working with couples and families, and you got to experience some of that process, not even recognizing all you were trying to do was be committed to what you set out to do. And it's funny how life takes us through that. How do you plan on using those experiences in your help with others?
Yes, I told someone recently, volunteering was the best choice I ever made. I learned so much. It was such a valuable experience. I got to work with victims of crime. I got to work with people, you know, it's very, you know, graphic things that happened to them. But it really helped me to learn how to work with people who are going through a delicate and sensitive situation in their lives. And the fact that I wasn't getting paid for it, it was a different type of commitment and a learning experience. And I think when you're willing to do something for free, and especially like they said, if you're doing what you love, it's not work. It doesn't feel like you're working. So it became that for me. It was something I enjoyed so much. It didn't feel like I was working. I would drive an hour just to go visit a family and do therapy with them, and I didn't get paid for it. I didn't get gas reimbursement, but I was driving all around the city, all around the county, and helping people turn their lives around.
Well, it's very obvious you have a giving heart, and doing what you do, it's important to have a giving heart. If you don't,
yeah.
Then, well, you know, you're not going to be very good at what you do. So I want to shift a little bit over to different ways to overcome shyness, go from self-conscious to self-confident. What made you decide to go into and do a book and co-author with someone? Tell us about that.
Yes, I was very excited about the opportunity to write a book. I always wanted to write a book and never knew how to go about it. So when this opportunity came up, I definitely jumped on it. So I did a lot of research about shyness. I read a lot of articles. And so I became even more fascinated to learn that over 40% of people consider themselves to be shy. And there are a lot of other things that may be characteristics of shyness that people may mistake for mental disorders, such as obsessive compulsive disorder, post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, anxiety. So I found that to be something that I can also relate to in the psychology field. So this was a really great opportunity to share with people how they can overcome shyness.
When you were younger, or even today, do you struggle with shyness?
Oh, I recall, yes, when I was young, I definitely had more issues with shyness. Now, not so much, but I recall one incident I was in elementary, and I did not even want to go to a costume party. I was that shy. My mom had this, like, ghost outfit, and it was just such an impression that I still remember it, and I still regret that I did not go to the party. And it's just really funny how I still remember that event. But now as an adult, if I find myself shy to go to certain events because I don't know anyone there, I just tell myself, you know, you'll eventually meet someone. I do go to several, like, networking events where I have no idea who's going to be there, or I go alone, but you eventually find yourself getting comfortable with going to these events if you challenge yourself and you do challenge your shyness.
Well, I'm looking at your website, and it's MarlenaHunter.com, and right on the homepage is a picture of you. So I'm sure that you don't have problems being recognized. It's a very, very attractive picture of you there. And going to events, I'm sure people come up to talk to you first. So it's probably a little bit easy for you to overcome. But when you're out, I'm serious, you know, because a lot of times, you know, we have personal issues that we're shy about, or, you know,
that
keep us from doing different things. So back on track here with 100 Ways to Overcome Shyness.
Mm-hmm.
That book is available. Well, let's talk about this first. You just did a book signing on September 7th in Santa Monica at the Barnes & Noble. How did that go?
It was very nice. I was definitely nervous for that and shy myself. But I had a friend that came and sat with me the entire time, which was amazing. And actually my children were there. So it really helped me. And people came and asked questions. And I had my friends came to purchase the book. And I signed autographs. And even random people bought my book. So it was really, really nice. It was a great opportunity to kind of promote it and let people know about this book. And I had a lot of people tell me that they were shy, that they were bullied, and a lot of things that caused them to still struggle with shyness today. And I told them this book is definitely going to be a great tool for them to help them on a daily basis.
Well, I know I'm getting ready to release our third book, and there's this coolest thing when you sign someone's book. And I thought just for the first time when someone asked me to sign the book how cool that was, right? But I can tell you, I've signed a lot of books, and it's still the same feeling. It's just really, it's really a neat feeling. And so I always recommend everyone to go out there and tell their story to somebody in a book, in a journal, on a piece of napkin, something. But it's really important to share that. So you co-authored a book. When are you coming out with the next book just by you?
I like that question. That's actually my next long-term goal, hopefully in the next year. And this book was, you know, I wrote it, I was going through a lot of other things, and it was a little bit stress and the time management, and I said, I don't want to write a book again. But, however, right after writing this book, I became very excited on the idea to write another one. And since I'm working on my dissertation soon, it will be on happiness and how acts of kindness can improve people's lives and increase happiness. I want to write my next book on happiness.
Awesome.
Yeah,
I can tell you, Marlena, I'm going to be reaching out to you to talk to you about writing a chapter in one of our books. And our books are about telling your journey in life, how you got to where you are, what you've overcome. Because everybody knows that until they understand who you are, they don't understand why you are. So I'm sure you got some great stories to tell in the journey, because you stayed so focused throughout your process to help stay on course. And that's really hard. Mm-hmm. We live in a very fast, noisy, busy world.
Oh, yeah.
So I commend you for that. That's very, very hard to do, at least for me.
Yes, it is. And that's why I say staying focused and being very organized help, and using timetables, and having understanding friends and family, because you do have to sacrifice a lot of things. You may have to miss out on parties or events, and sometimes it's not that easy for people to understand. They may think you're being selfish.
Right. And it isn't being selfish.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not being able to find the right balance in what you're doing, and that might never come. It's just very hard to do. That's why it's important to get counseling or help, whether it's through your family issues, your marriage, your daily business life, your personal life. It's just really important to get help so that you can get that balance, so you don't miss out on things. And one of the things I respect the most about you, you did the year's worth of intern for free and put money out of your pocket to get the certification that you needed to have. And in that process, you learned so many other things that you couldn't have learned in a book in any college setting. So to me, you're way ahead of the game, and that devotion and that commitment was well worth it. So don't beat yourself up about that. I think that it's going to make you more who you're going to become than you know.
Oh, thank you. Also, you gave a really great tip about networking, and I think that also helped me with my specialization, because not only I'm in a private practice, but the volunteer work that I was doing, it opened a new door for me. I got such a great recommendation from the family I work with. I actually received referrals for working with four more families. So that was just amazing. Just putting myself out there, working for free, just led me to more opportunities.
Well,
which is definitely what I did not expect, but it happened. You know, it just happened just by, like you said, just doing what you love and from the heart, and people see that.
Well, I just want to say, most people out there are going, I am not working for free. I don't care what she says. But the truth of the matter is, you did it to get your certification. And business owners out there, or people out there in the corporate world, have to understand that if you do something nice for someone else, something nice will happen for you. And if you go first and expect nothing in return, you'll get plenty. If you don't go first and expect everything in return, you'll be standing on the corner by yourself, maybe even with a piece of cardboard asking for something or another on the corner. So time's up, and I really appreciate your time with us, and we're going to have you back on. I want to know more about that book. We'll reach out to you off the air to see how we could help promote your 100 Ways to Overcome Shyness. And people can go to your website and purchase it at MarlenaHunter.com. Now, Marlena, a question for you. Locally in California, do you go out and speak to different groups? Have you thought about going out to a networking group of business owners and standing in front of them and talking to them about the value of building relationships? Because that's kind of in your background, right?
Yes, I would love to do that. I was trying to get into a conference this October. However, I do not know if I will be able to do one until next year. I think there's one in March. It's the Western Psychological Association. So I plan to do a talk there. I think that's the only thing I have so far. But I would definitely look into that, networking and business association.
Well, we really appreciate your time today. We appreciate all your commitment and hard work and what you're doing. And we hope to have you back on the show.
I definitely would love that. And I thank you again. And I look forward to hearing from you soon.
Okay, Marlena. Thank you for your time today. And we wish you good luck. And we just are waiting for the next book.
Yay. Thank you. Exciting. And I really thank you. And for everyone there in Texas, you know, have a great day. I hope you really enjoyed the show.
Thank you. We'll talk soon.
Okay. Bye.
Okay, folks. We're going to take a commercial break. We're going to come back with my next guest, Kathy Taborn and Kristen Taborn Siggins. They're a mother-daughter certified executive coaching team and the founders of the Institute of Courtesy. Well, there you go. There's a word that we don't get to see people push around too much. People just get so impressed when people have manners and they're nice. So I'm real excited about this next interview coming up. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. And make sure to go to MarlenaHunter.com. Get the book, 100 Ways to Overcome Shyness. Maybe you're not shy, but I'll bet you know someone that is. So buy the book as a gift. We'll be right back after this short break.
Listen to The Legal Eagle and The Coach each Wednesday from noon to 1 p.m. on Tough Talk Radio Network. Leading local and national experts in business will share their keys to success so that our listening audience can be educated and entertained along the way to becoming all they can be. So whether you're new to business or highly experienced, The Legal Eagle and The Coach with hosts David Alterburn and Brian Kaiser is a great radio program for you. For more information, go to LegalEagleAndTheCoachRadio.com.
Lauren Jano is an elite, international certified, high-performance coach, author, and speaker with over 15 years' experience helping clients transform so that they are living bolder, happier, and more successful lives. Through a combination of her world-class coaching program and exclusive assessments, her mission is to get to the crux of your issues quickly and accurately, and then guide you to achieve sustained and higher levels of clarity, joy, energy, connection, influence, and overall performance in every area of your life. To learn more or to contact Lauren, go to laurenjano.com.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
All right, welcome back to the show. Great interview with Marlena Hunter, who is a marriage and family therapist with private practice in California. Make sure to check out her book, 100 Ways to Overcome Shyness. You can find it by going to MarlenaHunter.com. Now, my second guest, and I thought we were going to have a mother and a daughter. We just have the mother, okay? And I want to make a correction here because I was corrected by my office here during the break, Institute of Courtesy. Okay? Courtesy. Anyway, so I want to bring up Kathy Taborn to the show and welcome her. Kathy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you, Tony, for having me. It's my pleasure,
and I do apologize. Institute of Curiosity. I said courtesy. I've been on that big kick about courtesy this week, but anyway, we do welcome you to the show. So I want to talk about a lot of things, so I want to go and get right to the point. First of all, I want you to tell people where you're calling in from and where you're from originally.
Okay. I'm calling in from Vancouver, British Columbia, and that's where I live, and my daughter lives in L.A., and we are a mother-daughter team of executive coaches who have founded the Institute of Curiosity and written a book about curiosity. We're all about that. And I've lived, Kirsten was born in Vancouver and moved to L.A., and I've lived here for a very long time.
Mm. So my first guest is in L.A. We'll have to connect her and Kirsten together.
Yes, I was listening to it.
Be just another connection. Anyway,
yes.
So you work with your daughter together.
I do.
Now, you know, there's that saying, oh, don't work with family. How does that all work? Do you guys, have you always been able to work together? I mean, how did you even decide to come together? Is that your background originally and your daughter followed along? Tell us about that journey. How did that get started?
Well, it got started, I started out as an occupational therapist and ended up in industry. And what I learned was that leadership was critical to having a healthy, happy, engaged workforce, and so or effective leadership. So I went back and did a graduate degree in leadership and then certification in executive coaching. So I became the executive coach and was involved in a leadership development program. And during that time, what I noticed was that I was doing a communication program, which was around coaching skills for managers. And everyone, and then we did so many hours of coaching afterwards, and the feedback was consistent. Everyone said the same thing. Yeah, the coaching model is great, and we'll use it. However, really learning to listen, really learning how to ask open questions, that's what's made the difference to our relationships. And so from that, Kirsten was, they'd moved to LA. She wasn't quite sure what she was going to do. And so we talked about her taking an executive coaching program. She decided she wanted to do that. And when she was finishing it, all of this so-called data, I guess I would call it, was coming in, this feedback from hundreds of participants in the program. So the two of us started talking about the whole notion of curiosity and how it plays into relationships. And how rarely, you know, people say they're curious, but the reality is they may be curious about what's inside a parcel or what makes something tick, but people are rarely curious around relationships. And so we started to focus on curiosity within human connections and people could begin to recognize that we all have our own perspectives on everything, and we can't assume that someone else has the same perspective that we do. And the only way we can understand their perspectives is to be curious and ask them about it. So that out of that evolved, we started using it in our coaching practices and got fantastic feedback, and people really found that it was impacting their relationships. And you were talking about relationships with Marlena, and the thing now that we're moving from the hierarchical industrial era to the information era, that whole notion of relationships is so important, both in organizations and in our family and home lives. So having effective relationships is just, it's something that we all need to begin to have, and we can do that by beginning if we really understand each other. So that started our journey, and then we began to use it with each other, and that's what really deepened our relationship. So we had and I think Kirsten has said this before, we had a good relationship, mother-daughter, and a lot of people say from a daughter perspective, oh, how can you work with your mom? She could, because we were really respectful of each other and really wanted to understand each other's perspectives, not make assumptions about each other. And so we've learned a lot about each other. Our relationship we can't even describe it. It's an amazing relationship. It's way past a mother-daughter relationship. We work really well together as business partners. And then we wrote the book together. And that's, it's gone really well. And our relationship just keeps getting better, if it can. I don't know. It's amazing.
Well, I think you hit the golden prize. I mean, as a parent, when we can have that type of relationship with our children, I think we win, right? We've done our job in life. So you've excelled past that, because most parents don't have a good relationship, a good enough relationship with their kids as it is, or the best relationship with them. And if you're able to work together, grow together, do things like you're doing, and teach others together, I think you kind of won the parent award in my book. So,
thank you.
Really. So, one of the things I want to talk about with you is, first, I want to say thank you for your book. I've been checking it out, okay, and I love when I get books, because I don't unfortunately get to read them cover to cover, but I get to learn a little bit about each one of them, especially during the interview. And here's one of the things that's going to make me dig back in your book. There's something that you said. It's about listening, how important it is to listen. And we live in a fast, loud, noisy world, and listening isn't something that most people do anymore. And it's hard to help or grow or do anything if you're not hearing what's around you. So how important do you make that in your coaching, you know, the listening part? Is that something that you really touch hard on?
We do. And as coaches, we have to listen. And so I think it's a skill that we've really embraced, and we focus on it a lot with both our private clients and in our workshops. And most people in our workshops, when we ask the question, how often do you feel really listened to? Most people feel, when they think about it, they realize that people listen to them less than 50% of the time. And they also don't listen to others much of the time. And so you're right, we're in a world where people don't listen. And it's, if we don't listen to each other, how can we begin to understand each other? So it really begins with getting to that place where you can forget about multitasking and just really be there for the other person and pay attention to them so that you can respect them. If we're not listening to someone, it's really not messaging respect for them.
So I know that in the corporate world and small business world, I teach a lot in the solopreneur world on building relationships in the networking settings. And one of the things I tell people is, when you meet someone, ask them some questions and let them talk. Listen to everything that they're saying so you'll be able to understand more about them and how you position yourself for it. But more importantly, because if you let them talk first, they get everything out. So when you're talking, they're not waiting for you to stop talking so they could talk. So they're actually listening. If you don't let them go first, they're not going to be willing to listen to you, because all they're doing is trying to remember everything they're going to say when you're done talking. What do you think about that?
I've never heard it said that way, but it's really interesting, and I think really true, because if people feel that we listen to them, they're going to be more inclined to really listen to us. The other good thing about that is that if you ask questions and listen to the other person, you begin to really understand them. And if you've got important points that you want to get across to them, that you can put them, those points, in a context that aligns with their perspective, so that it's going to connect with them more effectively.
Right. So you can, if you're offering a service or a product, or if you're handing out responsibilities to a team in your organization, if you hear how the other people speak, you know how to speak their language back to them in order to get them to do what you want them to do. Right?
Yeah. Well, and also, you know, then you begin to understand what their needs are, and you can frame what you want to do in a way that's going to resonate with them and going to work for them, and it's open and transparent. So it just deepens that connection and creates a more effective relationship.
Okay, so do you guys do workshops?
Yes, we do.
And are they virtual or are they in person? Because your daughter's in California, you're in Canada. Do you do a lot of virtual stuff?
Well, within the context of workshops, we usually do one day face-to-face workshops. Although we're beginning to develop, we have for an organization, a learning platform out of Europe called SAM, SAM. We have just finished creating a virtual 30-day challenge, which is all its modules online that people go in and learn or do on their own pace. So we're creating both, and we're creating shorter modules that can be used with in the family and in organizations so that people can begin to build the skills if they because not everybody has time to read a book. So we're trying to do
right.
these in short pieces so people can begin to use these skills and learn them in a way that works for them.
And what platform is that you said?
The
using?
One that's up now is the platform is called SAM, SAM, and it's a learning platform out of Europe. The fellow who is our contact, and I think he's the head of it lives in the Netherlands. And they have 30-day
cool,
challenges for a lot of different innovative things right now. Yeah,
very
it is.
Good.
It's really exciting. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I like to ask those questions so that people out there that are trying to figure out how they can do things, different things, because there's so many things out in our internet world that, I mean, that's a full-time job just keeping up on what they are, let alone understanding them. So that's very cool. You can reach
we're trying
so many
to do
more
it
people.
In short. Yes, and we're trying to do it in short bites. So our videos are only 5 minutes long. And then there's some readings for people to do, but we're trying to keep it really concise and in a way that we respect people's lack of time in this day and age and that they can still learn on an ongoing basis.
Yeah, that's awesome. They say 5 minutes or less will keep everyone's attention.
That's right.
So, but you can have, so you can take a 1 hour course and you can make it 5 minute videos and they can touch it every day and still complete the process. And you can still reach thousands of people without leaving home or boarding an airplane. So that's very good. That's very good.
Mm-hmm.
So the power of curiosity, tell me one of the things inside that book that people need to understand. So give me the one reason why you think they should buy that book. Not because you need the money for the book. The one nugget in there that they really need to know. I mean, it says how to have real conversations that create collaboration, innovation, and understanding. But I want the piece that Kathy says, this is the reason why you need to read the book.
Okay, the reason for reading the book is you'll learn what we consider to be the three curiosity skills that we all have as children. But as we get older, they are no longer skills that we use. So we take you back into that world so that you can learn the curiosity skills. And the reason for having these is that neuroscience, one of the things that happened in all the workshops that I did, the feedback was people would say, you know, when I feel those emotional buttons being pushed and I'm thinking, oh, I'm getting really angry about something, that if they asked an open question, which is a third of the curiosity skills, that the emotion began to dissolve. And so neuroscience, we read last year, shows that when we're curious with others, dopamine is released. And then as we continue to be curious, oxytocin and dopamine are both released. And so as we're developing that connection with others an emotional situation, if we become curious, that dopamine will help us get rid of that emotional tension. So when we're in conflictual situations, we no longer have to either explode or run away. If we use those curiosity skills, we can stay in those conversations and better understand the other person, not necessarily agree with them, but understand them so that we can work together to find common ground that we can move forward on. So that's, to me, the nugget.
Yeah. So you're kind of like a combination. So you're when you say you're an executive coach, right?
Yeah.
We're talking more of a life coaching, would you say, or?
Well, I think of myself as an executive coach because my focus is leadership, and the course I took was an executive coaching program, so it was based on leadership. However, most leaders are also parents, and they also have friends and family. And so these skills can be used in every aspect of one's life. And Kirsten's focus has been more on parents and working with parents in the parent world, and yet, you know, that also spills over into a life in the workplace. So when, you know, we're all leaders of our own lives at work. So there's a crossover there, and it's used, I think we can integrate these skills into every aspect of our life.
Well, Kathy, I gotta admit to something here. So I asked that. It was kind of like a trick question because I'm always, I don't know if you've listened to my show before, I'm always talking about people that are coaches, they're business coaches. If they don't tackle the life issues inside of a person they're trying to coach, they're not going to be able to unleash the ability to be better. So,
absolutely.
Like you said, there's things inside of us that spark when certain things happen. If you don't know how to deal with those situations, you're not going to be any good on a full-time basis unless you're secured that you're not going to be able to run into those problems. So I really think it's important what you're doing is to point out, first of all, if you don't know the weakness, you can't make it stronger or fix it. So you can't help someone unless you know what their weakness is. And if you're curious enough to keep asking questions, and if you listen, you'll be able to attack that problem, identify it, and check the box off. It doesn't mean that it's going to go away completely. It just means that you're going to be able to understand better how to deal with it when it shows up. Is that right?
Yes, exactly. And that's what it's, I mean, it's not that we want to avoid things. It's more having the confidence to deal with things. I mean, Kirsten and I still disagree at times, but we become curious. And we use curiosity to clarify what's going on between, you know, in the situation and how we can find common ground to move forward. So we don't go to that emotional place. We don't retreat and we don't say things that we wish we later regret. We become curious instead.
So it's kind of like when you're going to go out on stage and you're very nervous, you don't want to blame it on nerves. You want to blame it on energy. So you can identify what it is, deal with it, move through it, and be better at it at the end of the process. So what you're trying to do with people is when things don't go right, be curious enough to look inside to see why. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It works with self and it works with others. Yeah.
Yeah.
Curiosity, we really believe, is the skill that's so relevant in the 21st century in all aspects of our lives.
So if you had a team of people, you're a corporate executive and you have a team of people, it kind of works the same way, right? You have to be able to ask the right questions to them to understand where their struggle is, be curious enough to find that out, and then allow them to use their strengths in the projects instead of their weaknesses.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's very cool. That's
and
a great way
them.
To put it. I never looked at it as, curiosity. That's a better word, I think, because a lot of times when a coach comes along and says that they're going to do something, the wording that they might use could scare the heck out of you, or, you know, put your defense up or something like that. But curiosity is kind of like a friendly word, and are you curious of why you act that way is a lot better than let me tell you why you're acting that way. So
when we tell people what they're supposed to do, it's not something anyone wants to hear.
Right.
It leads to blaming and shaming, and people, we're no longer receptive to people unless we ask for advice. When someone tells us what to do, we don't like that. And so this way, it allows the person to become self-directed in their learning and figure out for them what's the best way to learn instead of being told what to do.
So as I'm listening to you explain that, it really shows true that you had to really listen to the way people were responding or reacting in order to be able to come up with the word curious, to know that they would accept that easier, you know, you telling them how you could fix them.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well put.
It's amazing how if you listen long enough to what's going on around you, how you can come up with different things. Because I've been doing radio interviews for almost 7 years, and I interview a lot of authors and speakers. And this is the first time, you know, life coaches, business coaches, every kind of coach, I think I've, even football coaches, everybody is, you know, some type of a coach. This is the first time I've heard it explained through the word curiosity. I think you really got something special here.
Thank you very
really
much, Tony.
When are you girls coming out with another book?
I don't know. We're still, our book just came out in May, and we're more exploring workshops and other ways to get people connected and able to learn effectively what we have. So we're focused on that more than a second book right now, and that can change. I mean, we have some ideas.
Is there a difference? Is it you or your daughter that looks way ahead? Do you both just go step at a time? Is there a difference there? Is there a balance there?
There is a balance. And I'm more the big picture thinker, and Kirsten's more the detail-oriented person. So it works really well.
My wife is the detail-oriented person, and I can vision from here to Canada and back in 30 seconds. So that is a good mix. Somebody's got to do the hard thinking, though, right? So
exactly.
Yes. So tell me, if there was something that you could leave my audience today for the rest of the year 2015, other than purchase the book, and I want to tell them they can just go to instituteofcuriosity.com. They can buy the book there. You can buy it a lot of places, Barnes & Noble, Amazon. Is that correct?
Yes. Pretty well, okay. All of the e-platforms have it, and some but not all bookstores. Barnes & Noble do have it, I know.
And you have a workbook as well.
We do, and that's available on our website.
And there's free. Also that's, the audiobook.
Yes, and that's available through the e-platforms. And Amazon has it and the other ones, yeah.
So before I get to your last question, I just want to make sure people know to go to instituteofcuriosity.com, join their list, and get an intro and a chapter for free. So I tell people this all the time, sign up. Check out the chapter to make a decision whether you want to get the book or not, or maybe you can learn more, or maybe you unsubscribe. It's your choice. But if you don't check it out first, you're not going to know for sure if you're making the right choice. Be curious enough to go and find out. Go to instituteofcuriosity.com. Kathy, one thing you can leave my listeners for the year 2015 that might help them in their day?
Well, that would be to really focus on listening. So when someone's talking to you, put down your phone, stop doing other things and really listen to them. And begin to ask open questions. And open questions begin, they're questions that can't be answered with yes or no. So they begin with who, what, where, when, and how. And also why, although why can be judging. So it's who, what, when, where, and how. And I like what and how best. So you can start anything with a what or a how. So I would just invite them to begin to really listen and then to ask those open questions, and just see what happens.
Well, Kathy, we're up against the clock. Great stuff. I hope we get to have your daughter back on the show with you next time. And for the listeners out there, who, what, when, and how. They're the ways to start questions if you want to really have a good conversation. Thank you so much for your time today. We wish you great success, and I know that I'll be looking for the next book. It's going to come out within the next year. I'll bet it gets started soon.
Yes. Thanks so much, Tony. It was really a pleasure being on your show.
Okay. We'll talk to you soon. Folks, I'm up against the clock, so I have 20 seconds, and I just want to say this real quickly. Okay. You want to go to instituteofcuriosity.com. Check out the book, right? Also, you want to go to the, just lost my thought here. MarlenaHunter.com. Okay, that's our show for today. Tune in next week. We're out.
This has been another edition of Workshop Wednesdays, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.